My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Ball will be snapped from the left hash on second and goal. Ewers looks right, throws to the corner, caught, touchdown Texas. Matthew Golden, his first touchdown as a Texas Longhorn.
Final hour fist pump time on the Fan Cam, Twitch, and YouTube as we have the opening of the NFL season tonight. We're going to have the game on the Odyssey app, by the way. And, of course, college football has already started. Sean Sharif, RJ Choppy, and Texas Longhorn fan Bobby Roberto Bell. Same for Peyton in the back, running things here on DFW Sports Station. And we have a big one on Saturday. The Texas Longhorns versus the defending champs. What did y'all say the spread was for this?
I saw 7.5.
7.5. Texas favored by 7.5 in Michigan.
The voice of the Longhorns, Craig Way, will have the call, and he joins us now on the D&M Leasing Hotline. Good morning, Craig. How are you?
I'm great, fellas. Good to be on with you this morning.
Thank you for joining us. We're asking this to all the Cowboys insiders, and I'll ask the same thing for the Longhorns to you. Do you think that the Longhorns have the same type of season, better or worse than last year?
It's a little more difficult question, I think, in the Longhorns' case, only because of all of the change that has happened, not only to them, but in college football. The fact that they're going into the Southeastern Conference, it's a different look, it's a different feel. You know, we all kind of got in that rhythm for a long time in the Big 12 Conference. You know, traveled to the one place, and you see how the teams are doing. You kind of knew how they were in the same faces year in, year out. I even knew the places to eat and the places to avoid in Stillwater. And there are more places to avoid than to eat in Stillwater, I'll tell you that. But, you know, you learned all of those things over time. It's a real new frontier. It truly is. And it starts with going to a place they've never been before in college football, and that's Ann Arbor, Michigan. They've only played Michigan one time, and that was the Rose Bowl following the 2004 season. So it's a lot new. Certainly the talent that is in place there and on the roster is good enough to surpass last year. But anytime you're talking about getting past 12 wins in a conference championship, That's a pretty tall task, especially in a league like the SEC.
I assume Texas changed all their signs in preparation for this because they don't want Michigan stealing any signs of theirs. Did they do it last week?
Yeah, you know, thank goodness for helmet communication now, right? You know, that's another thing of this whole new world, you know, about having helmet communication that they have now. They actually have a 2-minute timeout. They call it the 2-minute timeout, not the 2-minute warning or whatever in college football. So, that's part of the other change that I was talking about. But it's a lot different now.
Our first road games of the year for 18, 19, 20 year old, are they more difficult than they might be in, like, say, the NFL? Is that something that is kind of concerning to coaches the first time you go on the road every year?
I think there's always that consideration. I asked Sark that last night when we were doing his weekly radio show about, you know, trying to get guys back in rhythm. And they had the same routine when they were in the Big 12 and they'd go on the road and they, you know, would have meetings. And if the kickoff was later in the day, they would go to a movie as a team. They won't do that because it's an 11 a.m. Central Time kick tomorrow. But he said, you know, the whole thing about game routine is something to get guys in the habit of doing. And I think your point is well made. When it's the first one, then it is different. And it's a little longer plane flight and those kinds of things. So, yeah, I think there's always that in the back of their minds there, but they try to keep everything on track and on routine.
Talking with the voice of the Longhorns, Craig Way, here on 105 through the Fan. Okay, so Texas had the game against Colorado State last week as kind of the buildup for this one. Anything, obviously it was a beatdown, 52-0, but anything that they maybe want to clean up heading into this one? Colorado State was able to run the ball a little bit. Is that something that will be a bigger focus coming out of that first game?
I think so, and I think they want to run the ball a little bit better. We knew there were going to be some changes with the running game, not only because of not having a Jonathan Brooks back there, but then when they lost C.J. Baxter to the knee injury in training camp and then lost the freshman Christian Clark to the Achilles injury, they were down two running backs. Now, the two regular, so to speak, starters that they would have, Jaden Blue and Trey Wisner, are really, really good, and we saw flashes of that, and we saw a young freshman and Jarrett Gibson look good as well. They even have an SMU transfer, Belton Gardner, but they weren't quite as effective as they wanted to be with the run. Sark was saying that he didn't see as much breaking through a couple of things and more of falling forward. I mean, it was leaning forward, but still it wasn't quite as balanced as they wanted it to be. So I think there's that. And then on the defensive side, they pretty much took everything else away from Colorado State. They had the one thing with the running game that got them some yards that were longer than they wanted to see allowed, especially, you know, they had to kind of balance it because some of that was coming later in the game when the Longhorns pretty much had the backups on there. But they like to say the standard is the standard, meaning if you're a second teamer or a third teamer and you're out there, they expect you to uphold it. Ultimately, they did in pitching the shutout, but yeah, there's always areas where you can be better, and Sark and the staff are certainly pointing them out.
So, yeah, running the ball better, stopping the run better, those are going to be some focuses. You know, we play that clip of you calling the Matthew Golden touchdown, one of them from the first week. Matthew Golden, Isaiah Bond, obviously the two big receiver transfers here to Texas this year. How is that connection working, do you feel like, with Ewers and those two?
Really good, and that was one of the questions I had, and one of the questions I think a lot of folks had as well, that C word, chemistry. How would it do when, you know, when you have Xavier Worthy go to the NFL and Adonai Mitchell head to the NFL and JT Sanders go to the NFL? So how was it going to work, even also with a newer tight end look as well, with Amari Nyblack coming in from Alabama? But Gunnar Helm remains the lead target there. Juan Davis, the kid from Everman, is also another one of those guys that brings some things back, and they all got into the passing game. But to your point, I think Matthew Golden really stepped up. Isaiah Bond did. Silas Bolden is another guy to continue to watch. That's an Oregon State transfer who looks good in special teams. He's the one who caught that little flip pass from Arch Manning once he got in the ball game later in the game and scored a touchdown as well. And Golden had the two touchdown catches, including that no-looker, that kind of Patrick Mahomes look, since we're on NFL day number one here with the Chiefs playing tonight, that Ewers threw to him. So I'd say they all incorporated nicely into the offense.
Craig, obviously, you know, quarterback, it's just like the NFL, right? You know, if you don't have a great quarterback, you don't have a chance at college game anymore. Year-to-year progression and jump, did Quinn look just as efficient and as good as it gets last week?
I think so, and I think they saw that coming throughout the course of fall camp. I think, and fellas, we know how this is because we've all been there and covered practices and things like this and been in interview sessions. I think the greater Austin local area media set a record for the number of questions about leadership this year when they were asking Sark about Quinn and how much he'd grown and improved. Now, can you tell us about how he's grown as a leader? This was like going on every week. And I was thinking, dude's been there 3 years. I think he leads, you know, and, but it was more than just that. I mean, he'd, you know, put on the right amount of weight, I think, and was in better physical shape. Remember, he'd lost some time due to injury the past couple of years. So I think all of that was on display, and the guys just really gravitate to him. And having said all that, they're really developing Arch Manning nicely. We saw some of that on Saturday. So if something does happen to Quinn, I think they'll be ready to go, that Arch would be capable of stepping in and doing what they need to get done out of that quarterback spot.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that. Did Arch's debut just kind of like set the scene to turn up the heat and, you know, lead us to the road of controversy here if Quinn struggles when he has a couple hiccups?
Well, I think you want to make sure you have a guy who can step in and play the role right there or close to it. And I think they feel they've got that. By the same token, there's no mistaking that this is Quinn's team and he's the guy leading it. And, you know, when he was out there by and large last year and the year before when he was healthy, he was pretty much doing the job. And I think that's the expectation again. And he gave no indication that it would be anything less than that this year. But like we were saying, by the same token, you want to have a guy who is capable of stepping in and not having a drop off in production. I think they feel pretty confident about that.
Have you seen a leap? Did you see a leap from Arch this year in practice? And how surprised are you that he's been this perfect teammate versus saying, oh, I'm not going to start, I'm out of here?
I saw the step up during spring practice and watching him in the spring, and he had this fabulous spring game. And so that sparked a lot more conversation and things like that. I was also not surprised at all with the approach that he has taken, because the family has been very, very, just firm in saying all along they wanted him to redshirt. I mean, his two uncles, who, of course, famously played in the NFL, said the same thing. Eli said that he was so glad he got to redshirt. Peyton said that he wished he'd had the opportunity to redshirt. He had to be kind of thrust into action pretty early in his career, still in his true freshman season. So I think everybody was glad that Arch, and he said so as well, that he needed the time to develop, that this was Quinn's team. That's why he didn't take any NIL endorsements or things like that. He said, I'm not the starting quarterback yet. It's not time for that yet. So, you know, I started seeing these kinds of things when he first landed on campus and the comments that he was making. I did, to your question, from a production standpoint, really see it all step up for him starting in the spring, and it continued through the fall workouts.
Craig, you know, over the last 15 years between Mack Brown, Charlie Strong, Tom Herman, Steve Sarkisian, Texas has always had, you know, pretty consistently top five recruiting classes right around there. Obviously some down years. Why do you think these recruiting classes, these highly touted recruiting classes, are now clicking with Sark when they didn't really click the same way with Herman or the last years of Mack Brown or during the time with Charlie Strong? What is it about Sarkisian that these recruiting classes are actually coming to bear now?
Well, I think you'd have to go back, really, the history lesson that I've had recruiting analysts and experts tell me, that it really only takes one misfire on a recruiting class to start to derail a program. And if you have two, it can really throw it off track. And I think that's what happened right toward the end of Mack's time, 2009, 2010. If you look back historically, how many of those guys, how much retention there was, how many became starters. They after 2009, they did not have a first round draft choice all the way up until last year. So, I mean, you know, there were a lot of things, I think, that contributed to that. It started that downward cycle, and then there was a confidence at level, I think. There was also a step up in some of the other programs. Like, they'd had this long, long winning streak over Oklahoma State. That ended, and they went right into a spiral against that same school, that same program, Oklahoma State. And obviously, they had the up again, down again type nature with Oklahoma. They'd lost three in a row, came back one. Two out of three, and then dropped two more in a row. And so they just couldn't seem to get consistent, I think, for a long time, even when they were getting some better recruiting classes. And it was just I think it takes time, and Sark pointed this out, you just have to stack some really good recruiting classes against some veterans that bought in. I mean, he's got a couple of six-year seniors that were there when Tom Herman came in David Benda and Jahdae Barron on the defensive side, who from the moment that Sark landed in town, pretty much said to their teammates, ones around, this is the guy. We're going to be okay. We're going to do this. And there were a few that filtered out. But then once the better recruiting classes, signing classes started coming in, mixing in with those retained veterans, it made a difference. And that's ultimately what started the upward trajectory from 5-7 in Sark's first year to 8-5 the second year to 12-2 last year. All of those things, I think, added up to it.
Craig, thank you so much for joining us. Fantastic preview. Have a great season. We look forward to catching up with you again and a good call on Saturday. We appreciate you.
Thanks, fellas. I'm looking forward to wearing a turtleneck to call the game. The high will be 60 on Saturday.
Oh, man. There you go.
Craig Way, the voice of the Longhorns on the D&M Leasing Hotline. How scared is Tyler Guyton for Sunday? Let's talk about it with Nick Harris, DallasCowboys.com. Next on Sean and RJ. Crosstalk with the KMC Masterpiece is coming up at 9:40 here on your home of the Cowboys. Sean Sharif, RJ Choppy, and Bobby Belt, joined by Nick Harris from DallasCowboys.com. Brought to you by the WinStar World Casino and Resort. Proud to be the official casino of the Dallas Cowboys. Please game responsibly. Nick, Peyton relayed to me that you watched the hour and 10 minutes of Jerry sit down with Stephen A. Smith. What jumped out to you the most?
Yeah, there were a couple of really good things. I almost have to tip my cap to Stephen A. I think there were a couple of things that a lot of people have been wondering. And I think the moment that stood out for me was when he asked him about cash spending, and he brought those numbers out. And then Jerry went down a path of, hey, you know, we make sure our players are taken care of.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off. and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
There's nothing wrong with that. And then Stephen A. kind of came back to it. He was like, hey, look, no one is ever doubting that you're taking care of your players. I'm asking specifically about this number. And I don't think Jerry had a direct answer for it. So that was, I think that was the thing that probably stood out to me the most. But also talking about the importance of CeeDee Lamb to the organization, the importance of Dak Prescott saying that, you know, he wants him around. Micah Parsons towards the end of that interview, the importance that he has to this franchise as well. You know, they're going to have to really figure out the checkbook to be able to pay all three and get them all three in the building for the foreseeable future. They have one done. Now, how do they turn to these next two?
Didn't you get the impression, or look, we've talked about this 500 times in the offseason, but the way that Jerry explained, look, we all spend in the National Football League, it's just a matter of when and where. After hearing his explanation again, you give him more of a pass for this criticism from the fan base and media of not spending and being frugal down there at the Arizona Cardinals right now?
I'll be 100% honest. My pops told me not to speak on things you don't know 100% about. And when it comes to this cash spending thing, man, yeah. There is so much jargon and different dialogue and things in the CBA that I have to understand a little bit better to understand completely, you know, what's going on at the end of the day. But at least from my basis level of knowledge, you know, you see the numbers and you identify that. And that does speak towards, you know, how much the Cowboys are willing to take out of their own pocket to be able to get some of these things done. And so, but I will be 100% honest. That's something I need to look forward to in the CBA and maybe spend a little bit of time diving into maybe in the bye week.
Nick, like you mentioned, it's so complex, like the jargon and the technicalities and the way things work there. So it's one of those where you can't say like, oh, well, I can't necessarily address specifically their approach, but just by comparing to other teams and seeing the way that other teams operate and seeing that they don't operate the way the Cowboys do, or they don't seem to have similar constraints. Do you think it's enough at least for Jerry to kind of have a moment with his staff and say, hey, are we doing everything the right way here? Or are there areas where maybe we're not doing things as efficiently as we can?
Yeah, I think that's certainly worthy of a conversation. I mean, you look at the Saints, who are in quote-unquote cap hell every time we look up in March, and yet they figure out how to put a team together. And you could say the same thing with the Los Angeles Rams, you know, since they went quote-unquote all-in to win that Super Bowl years back, and they've still been able to field some pretty impressive teams. Granted, they have probably leaned on the draft and develop strategy a little bit more than the Saints have, but, I mean, there are teams out there who are spending that amount of money and are still able to make it work within the cap. So, yeah, I think those conversations are definitely valid towards, you know, towards needing to happen. You know, and that's conversations that need to happen with the entire front office. You know, those are that's a conversation that involves multiple people.
Did you also get the really strong impression like I did? Like, he went down a laundry list of reasons why it sounds like he wants Dak to be here with a new contract. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, I don't think there is a doubt that the both sides want Dak to be in Dallas for the long term. But whenever I look at this contract situation and I look at it more and more and more in depth, I don't see why, if I am Dak Prescott, I don't see why I would get that deal done right now. Yes, you're risking the fact that you go into the season, you know, just as you did in 2020 and potentially get hurt, and it could mess up what that deal could look like next offseason. Yes, you are risking that, but I would take that risk, you know, knowing what the season that I'm coming off of as a MVP runner-up. Yes, I understand the playoff success hasn't been there, but there's only a amount of quarterbacks you can count on one hand who have more playoff wins than Dak Prescott in the entire NFL. So he still has that at the negotiation table, whether that be with Dallas or with another team. If I'm Dak Prescott, I am testing the open market and I'm getting the best deal possible just because I know that I have the leverage to be one of, if not the highest paid free agent of all time.
So you're going all the way to the end. You're going all the way to March and you're going to be an actual free agent talking to other teams. You're not going to sign in the bye week if you're 5-1 or whatever. You're going all the way to the end.
Yeah, that's if I'm Dak Prescott. And at the end of the day, you know, what does Dak want? Does he want to deal with, you know, that kind of pressure and that kind of stress throughout the entire season and in the next offseason, not knowing where he's going to be in January? You know, that's a question he probably needs to ask himself at the end of the day. And if he feels differently about that, then yeah, maybe this is a situation where they sit down during the bye week and they come to an agreement, or you know, maybe right before free agency starts when they have that legal tampering period. I mean, and there are avenues, there are paths, more paths for the Cowboys to get this done than any other team. But even if he wants to stay in Dallas, if he wants to get the best deal possible, he tests that open market and he brings that to the negotiation table next March.
So based on what you said, do you think it's more likely then that Dak is the one that's holding this up?
That's my assumption here, because you look at all of the dialogue that Jerry Jones has been communicating, not only in the Stephen A. Smith interview yesterday, he had a press conference earlier in the week, throughout the entire offseason. We could go back to the State of the Union at the training camp, that press conference. He wants Dak Prescott in the building. He has always said it has to make sense for, you know, what it looks like for cap going forward. It has to make sense for what kind of team that the Dallas Cowboys could field around him. And he mentioned it in the Stephen A. Smith interview yesterday. He said, to be able to field a team around Dak Prescott over the course of a contract that we could sign him to, he deserves a team that's worthy of being able to push for a Super Bowl. If we feel like we can't do that, then we can't do that. So I think that was a little telling as well. That number has to be able to work for them to be able to field this team around him. But on the same token, they've done a really good job of drafting and developing since Will McClay has taken over as a director of pro personnel. So, I mean, there's a lot of things that go into that. I think that they have the personnel in place to be able to make that happen as it stands here in 2024. But who's to say that that same exact scenario does not stand in 2029 or however long this contract could get drawn out?
Nick Harris, DallasCowboys.com, with us every Thursday here on 105.3 The Fan. What is Tyler Guyton saying about Myles Garrett?
Yeah, he's taking it super chill. I think that's probably the best way I could put it. You know, we were trying to get him to, you know, maybe give us some eyeballs or give us maybe a little bit of a, oh goodness, yesterday during the locker room, but he's composed and he's ready to go. We asked him straight up, you know, what is this challenge like seeing a reigning defensive player of the year in week one as a rookie? And he said that my approach stays the same. I'm going into it like I have every other game. So, you know, he's taking it, you know, as it is. I think it's going to be a challenge for him. For me, and what I want to see from Tyler Guyton, I just want to see him bring his hands in. Yeah, I've talked about it a little bit. You know, his hands are super wide out in pass protection, and it really hasn't bit him yet. He's had success doing it against Micah Parsons. He had success doing it against Max Crosby. He even mentioned that in the interview yesterday. It's like, look, I have experience against a couple of these really top guys in the NFL. I feel like I'm prepared for Myles Garrett. But on the same token, I think Myles Garrett's going to have a power element that he has not seen from either of those two guys that I think he needs to bring his hands in and make it a little bit more close combat. But other than that, I think it's going to be a fun challenge for Tyler Guyton. I also think it's going to be a fun challenge for Terrence Steele. You know, don't be surprised if Cleveland and Jim Schwartz, he looks at this situation and he understands that Tyler Guyton might have some help over there on the left side. So he goes and attacks Terrence Steele on the right side with Myles Garrett. That would not surprise me. So I think there's going to be kind of a multiple layered approach from Jim Schwartz going into this game.
Have you made your prediction yet?
Yeah, I think the Cowboys take this one. I think it's going to be a low-scoring rock fight of a game. You know, you have the over-under at 41.5. I think it comes comfortably under that. I've been saying 17-13 Cowboys all week, so I'm going to stick with that.
Whoa. Wow. Nick, heading into this game with the Browns, what's the one area when you're watching this and we've analyzed the game, what's the one area you're confident the Cowboys can exploit this, the Cowboys can have success either on offense or defense, and what's the one area where you're really concerned and feel like Cleveland's going to be able to exploit some things?
I'll start with the confident point. I look at the Cowboys defensive line and that Cowboys pass rush unit. I mean, the Browns are still playing musical chairs with their offensive line. As we sit here on Thursday of week one, they're not 100% sure who's going to start at left tackle. They have some guys that they might have to move from one side of the line to the other. I think when you factor that in with the fact that Nick Chubb's not ready yet, Deshaun Watson will be coming back off his shoulder injury for the first time since November. I think he's going to be running for his life in that pocket. I think the Cowboys defense gets 3+ sacks in this game. So I feel really good about the Cowboys defensive line and their pass rush unit. As far as probably where there might be some concern, it might be literally on the other side of the ball in the trenches. I think that Browns defensive line, you look at the experience that they have up front, and granted, you still have Zach Martin, Tyler Smith, and Terrence Steele, guys that have been around for the last few years. But when you have two rookies starting on the offensive line, you'd be dumb to say that they're not going to go and attack those two guys. And I think when you look at the experience that they have up front, I think they're going to kind of get after them. How does that manifest in the run game? That's the big thing that I'm looking at. You know, if the Cowboys can just get over 100 yards rushing, I would consider that a good day against this Browns team.
Thank you so much, Nick. Enjoy the opener tonight.
Yeah, I appreciate it, guys. Y'all have a great one.
Nick Harris, DallasCowboys.com, brought to you by the Windstar World Casino and Resort. Proud to be the casino of the Dallas Cowboys. Please game responsibly. And we were talking about Tyler Guyton getting ready for Myles Garrett through Micah in practice. And yesterday, Micah gave another one of his classic headline clips. Peyton, what is the problem? I've given you 23 twice with the signal. What you give?
It's the killer, the hitman, and the assassin. You know, the killer, he's sloppy. You know, he's probably going to get caught. You know, he's not very good at what he does, but he's a killer. You know, he's raw in the streets. Call it like that. And you got the hitman. The hitman might not get caught, but you know who did it. You know, like, you know, he's probably a little bit more clean. And the assassin, you don't even know he's there. You don't even know he done it. You know what I'm saying? So each time you really want to develop, and I think at this fourth year mark for me, I think I'm ready to be an assassin.
So we got the assassin, and there was a lot of talk, right? We all raised an eyebrow when Micah's like, yeah, Mike Zimmer's coming in here, but, you know, he's going to have to adjust to me too. And there's all this talk about Micah playing linebacker and moving around and maybe not rushing the passer. So one of the questions to him yesterday was, how much does Zimmer's vision fit with your vision before the opener?
I think we aligned. I think I just had to show Mike, you know, what I'm capable of and what I can do. And everything that he thought I would be, I probably think I achieved that more. And, you know, he come up to me and was like, man, you say you want to do this, you say you want to do that. And he was like, man, if you just do this detail so you could be the best ever. And I think he just opened up to my idea how I see things, you know. There's not too much more six tech for me. You know, he was like, all right, we'll get you out there. I was like, I make a living getting people out in space, Mike. Like, I play six tech if you need me to on certain times. But he's like, don't worry, we got you. And, you know, there's certain things that, you know, I think it's just part of life that you evolve and we grow. And I think at being with him, I grew as a player. And definitely on the mental side. And he grew, you know, into his players and he adjusted me. So I think we evolved in a good way. Like, me and him about to meet again. Probably after lunch right here. So, you know, it just goes to show our relationship and how we're getting closer and how the faith he has in me into the system.
I'm glad that's being communicated to him, though, from Zimmer, the idea of the little details. Like, dude, if you will just hone in on these little technique things, you will not be stopped.
You think we should feel good about the relationship?
Yeah, I think it's good right now.
Crosstalk with a KMC masterpiece where we don't have the best relationship. That's next on Sean and RJ. But it's a great relationship over at the Frankels. They've achieved remarkable results by leveraging their unique insight into insurance defense tactics, gained from years of experience as insurance defense attorneys. They are the Tolo team of lawyers, and they now use that knowledge to strategically advocate for injured Tolo clients against insurance companies. Their firm specializes in various types of personal injury cases, and they bring over 90 years of combined experience to the table. Their expertise allows them to provide personalized attention and precisely navigate the complexities of the law, ensuring favorable settlements in personal injury claims and offering expert counsel in complex business litigation. Just simply put, they're committed to upholding the highest standards of legal representation for you, and that translates into an exceptionally high number of victories for the Tolo clients. Call them, hit them up if you ever need them, and tell them Sean for the Fan sent you. 214 or 817, all threes. 333-3333 or francofirm.com. Principal office, Dallas, Texas.
Yates ready. And deals, and there's a high drive well hit to left center field. Langford back at the wall. He leaps, he makes the catch, and the ball game's over. Wyatt Langford catches it at the top of the wall in left field. I'm not sure whether or not that ball would have gone out, but Langford makes sure it doesn't. And this game has mercifully come to a close.
That's a good way to put it, man. I turn on an episode of The Simpsons off the DVR when the ninth inning was going, and the episode was over and the ninth inning was still going, and I was like, oh, that's not good.
I cannot remember the last time I watched The Simpsons.
It's a damn fine program. Now, seasons 2 through 8 are the best.
So are you watching new episodes?
Sure.
Okay.
Oh, they have a new episode. It's still on.
It's still on.
You say season 2 through 8 was the best.
Correct.
Isn't like season 8 the last time the Cowboys won the Super Bowl?
That would have been 96-97. So,
doesn't sound like it's been very good for 30 years.
Simpsons greatness matches up with the Cowboys
now,
greatness.
Have they predicted a Cowboys win at any time? Because they predict everything.
Ooh, I don't think so.
Power rank Simpsons, Family Guy, and what would be a good third one?
South Park.
King of the Hill.
And South Park. Oh, King of the Hill.
King of the Hill's very underrated.
It helps talking to the mic, Mike.
Family Guy's
and
last.
And the Cosby Show.
And the Cosby.
Family Guy's last?
Yeah.
Family Guy.
I'm not saying Family Guy's not good. I just hold The Simpsons and South Park in very high regard.
Like, flat out, what are the best shows? It would be South Park. Of those three, it would be South Park, Family Guy, Simpsons. But if you're talking about, like, influence and opening doors so that, like, these other shows, then it would be South Park, Simpsons, Family Guy for me.
Oh, Simpsons is influence.
Simpsons influenced way more than any of the others.
Yes. Family Guy is The Simpsons.
Family Guy is, I think Family Guy is
a harder edge.
It's just,
yes, we are talking about influence.
It's got a harder edge to it for sure. They do things that nobody gets away with.
The edge for sure.
South Park to this day is, I still think it's funny because they did the, Megan and Harry worldwide privacy tour episode. He's playing drums in the front yard. He's like, "Oi, leave me alone. I want my privacy."
Mike, was that ball getting out of there?
100%. Where the post game show is at, I see it and I'm like, "Oh, that's a home run for sure." And then I see Wyatt Langford's glove go over the wall as he catches it. Glove goes over the wall. I'm like, "Crap, that was a home run." They would have had the tying run up.
After this Angels series, the Rangers would have to be how many back in order for you to second guess yourself, all of us, in thinking that everything was over?
Well, it's over.
okay.
They have to get to, you just start looking at the mathematics of it. If you get to 86 wins, like just give me the Rangers record the rest of the way to get to 86 wins, and that would mean the Astros can only win 85 games, which would mean the Astros can only win 7 more games or something the rest
Possible.
Of the year.
Listen.
What about the wild card? 8.5 back in both?
No.
Okay.
I mean, I'd love to say yes, but
yeah.
They sweep the Angels, they'll be 6 back in the West and in the wild card, right? There'll be 6 back. That's going to happen.
The Astros are getting
18 to go.
0.7% chance of making
it. Hell yeah, it was 0.2.
It's bumped up,
not
baby.
Not quite one, but it's getting close.
We're getting there.
Astros.
We were 1-500. Now we're creeping up to 1-100.
Can't win them all at once. You know, you got to take them a game at a time.
What's coming up on the show, Corey?
One segment at a time, Sean, is how it's going to be all day long. One major reason the Cowboys will win the Super Bowl and one reason they won't at 10 o'clock. My buddy's an idiot at 11 because we forced Mickey to move to 11:40 today, so we'll have him at 11:40.
That's true. Mike McCarthy had something to do with that, too.
Will he show up?
He's never on time. Bobby, I had a question for you. I know you don't have a microphone at this moment.
It's best time to ask him a question.
I think it reflects poorly on the leadership of this organization when your head coach can't even be on time to the press conference that is his press conference.
Whoa.
Is that fair or do you think that's unfair?
Look, it's year 5 and Mike McCarthy said his program does not grow for the first 4 years. The 5th year is when he's going to be on time. Okay. So if it's ever going to happen, it's going to happen now, Hagee.
Do you honestly look at that as an indicator?
Yes, I do. But I also...
Was Jason on time?
Yes.
Oh, gosh.
Mike just said no.
I don't feel like he was on time.
No, he wasn't.
He was closer on time.
I mean, I listened to those every day when G-Bag was on when we were nights. So I was come on, dude.
We know one thing he did.
It's not a well.
He put the clocks in day one.
He did. I think I care about time more than most people, and I care about it mostly because we have a break structure. And then people are like, "I can't believe you caught away from the press conference." I'm like, "I wish you would have been on time. We could have figured it out."
Dude, look, when you're watching somewhere else, they're not even asking real questions. They wait till he goes off of the stage, and then they ask. I want to just jam a mic in that stupid thing, and just be like, "Now we're gonna really hear what we have. What are your real questions, Clarence, Jane, whoever
James
else,
O'Keefe?"
And then we can really hear the real answers because they're like, "Hey, I don't want to ask my real questions while he's on the stage and it's on 105.3 The Fan. I'll wait till he walks off the stage and then we'll have another 20-minute press conference."
Mike, to be honest, though, you think if you ask him that question when he's piped into a switchboard that's like going out to a bunch of people, you think he's giving them the same answers?
No,
but it's a waste of time to put it on the air when we know that they're asking waste of time questions and he's giving waste of time answers.
Yeah, I mean, look, I'll tell you that, I think there's some stuff that is for that setting that you know you're going to get answers for, that he'll give you an answer that you can get onto the record, because that stuff that's in the walk-off, that's not on the record. And so that's not even stuff you can definitively say, this is what's happening. The stuff that he says at the podium is going to be on the record. So if there's stuff you know he'll answer there, you use those questions there. If there's other stuff where you just need clarity or something like that, you ask that in the walk-off.
If you want the good stuff, sign up for Tinder. Don't care if you're married or not.
What?
Bait someone in an NFL front office to go out with you on dates.
Masterfully.
Set up your camera.
Is this for the Commanders
guy? This is the Commanders guy who has been suspended for making some incendiary comments about a lot of people in the National Football League.
He's going to get fired, right?
I think he has to. Let's just run through these clips here of the undercover sting operation of the Commanders employee.
Okay, just walk me through again your breakdown, your just description of the Commanders players.
Over 50% of our roster, right, is either white religious and God says the gays.
Meet Ryle Entine, the vice president of content for the Washington Commanders.
Another big chunk is very low-income African-American that comes from a community that is inherently very homophobic.
So literally, it feels like almost every single NFL player per this person is homophobic for wildly different reasons, but they're all homophobic, including Jerry Jones. Kind of wanted to ask him about that tomorrow.
Where did we say he got his start?
Who?
This guy. We found his profile. Oh, KNBR is where he got his
professional start. Oh, in San Francisco?
Oh, in San Francisco.
And now let's talk about the breathing technique, according to this guy, of most NFL fans.
Most of the fans, I would say, are high school educated alcoholics.
They're like lower class people.
I hate to use that term. I would just say mouth breathers. I know, it's way worse.
He revealed that his job is to essentially operate, quote, state-run media.
My job is to sell hope to the fans, right? I need them buying tickets. When there's not much hope to sell, I still gotta dig deep to find it.
Why do you think there's not much hope to sell right now?
Because we had, like, pipes leaking sewage on our fans in the middle of a game, and I have to put out a social post saying, like, it wasn't sewage water, we promised. That is state-run media.
And then I think she liked the term mouth breather so much, she asked...
Just real quick, do you think if he got dropped in North Korea, he would still use that terminology?
Are they mouth breathers?
State-run media. Not the mouth breather part. The state-run media. Do you think he'd have a different respect for that terminology?
Yeah,
than,
probably.
I work for the Commanders. My life is so hard.
He's doing a great job, by the way, Sean. 78% optimism on that survey we were talking about earlier from The Athletic. Commanders fans are 78% optimistic, so he's doing a good job.
I want to hear a little bit more about us mouth breathers and drunks.
Most of the fans, I would say, are high school educated alcoholics.
Most NFL fans are high school educated alcoholics?
Yeah.
Really?
With a violent, like, yeah, I mean, there's fights in the stands all the time. Like, it is
so they're like lower class people.
I hate to use that term. I would just say mouth breathers.
That's not even better.
I know, it's way worse.
I love your description of the NFL fans, too.
Mouth breathers?
Mouth breathers. You said they're uneducated alcoholics with a violent tendency.
Yeah.
Is that what you said?
Yeah. I stand by that. What they need to do is look at their beer sales to know they're alcoholics.
How does this Nimrod not know he's being recorded?
I know.
Is that what you said, like Steven Johnson?
He's a high school educated alcoholic.
She's like interviewing him.
Yeah, it really is.
It's like a 60
You said
minutes.
Mouth breathers. Is that correct?
Right.
Yes.
And then
in a very newsy tone. Yeah. You said the mouth breathers?
As he's got I think he had a espresso martini in one date, and then he's got his, what's the one with the burnt orange that we like? The
orange
flavor.
Oh, the old fashioned?
Yeah, an old fashioned and another one as well. And then this is for tomorrow, 10:30. Kevin Hagelin specifically promises to ask Jerry Jones about this.
Oh. Entine also reveals that Dallas Cowboys owner Jerry Jones is the one who really runs the NFL.
Yes.
And reveals that Jerry Jones, quote, hates gay people and black people, unquote.
I don't think the commissioner of the NFL hates gay people, hates black people. So Jerry Jones, for instance, the owner who really runs the NFL, I think he hates gay people and black people.
What about Roger?
Oh, yeah, he's a puppet.
So Roger's a puppet.
Yes, a $50 million puppet.
You know, that would have held a little bit more weight if I hadn't learned earlier in the interview that he thinks every single person in the NFL hates gay people. I did have that in my notes as I wanted to ask Jerry what his thoughts are.
I just want to know, how did this organization and woman like target this guy, know to get him. And then how do they match up on Tinder? How did you, it's supposed to be random, right? Like, does she just swipe left until bam, I got this guy from the Commanders?
This, I don't know. I think they did say it was Hinge technically that they were on. Oh. I don't know how, if you can look at the person's, at their name, you can like search somebody's name on there or you just pop up and find them. I don't know. But this is some like.
He has a history. The James O'Keefe and that whole organization have a history of getting.
Oh, is that who the organization was?
Guy talking was James O'Keefe.
They do a lot of political stuff.
Yeah, so they have a history of getting stuff where you're like, how did you get that? It certainly wasn't legally obtained, was it? And so, who knows? Maybe they knew like, oh, we have this algorithm. If we're just in the same vicinity as him and we open the app, then he'll pop up on our feed or something like that. I don't know.
Tomorrow, Mike McCarthy will join us live at 6:30.
As long as we're switching off questions, I'll ask that Jerry question. Will you ask Mike McCarthy why he's not ever on time to his press conferences?
You know, if he's in a good mood,
Laura question.
At the end, we'll throw you guys under the bus and say, our midday show would like to know. So technically, we will ask if he's in a good mood. You're going to ask Jerry about the other stuff?
Sure, why not?
All right, Jerry Jones and two ludicrous, Corey Majors, not going to say, that's what happens when the mic's broken. Two ludicrous ticket giveaways tomorrow. Enjoy opening night. KMC is next on The Fan.
Say goodnight, Kevin.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too. What,
you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.